And now that we've touched lightly on the more serious type music, with that rendition of Meadowland, let us explore further the serious vein by calling on a man who has done much to promote a wider appreciation of the cultural attainments of the human species, and whose mark will long be felt on classical music. He can truly be called the patron of the arts, Jimmy Durante.
Seeking my favorite diversion last night and feeling in the pink, I steps into my plush upholstered hansom. With my two footmen commanding the poop deck and my Arabian steeds going at a gentle trot, we approach the theater marquee. And what happens? The red carpet is rolled out. My two footmen descend from the poop deck. They open the door and I steps out. Looking up from the gutter, I said, who told you to remove the running board? Picking myself up and ignoring the stares of the hoi polloi, I makes my entrance gallantly into the diamond horseshoe. Removing my top hat, my nylon gloves, my skunk muffler, and my patent leather goulashes with the neon buttons, I looks around. Mrs. Van Scaller is whispering to Mrs. Murray Hill. Mrs. Murray Hill is whispering to Mrs. Susquehanna, and what are they saying? Is it a bird? Is it a plane? Is it Superman? No, they shouted, it's a bum. You see, a vicious rumor has been circulated. Just because I work in a saloon, they say I'm not fit to mingle in any other circle. That's ridiculous. Nightclubs are just the Mr. Hyde part of me. You have yet to meet the Dr. Jekyll. I'm Durante, the patron of the arts, an opera critic, and a man of parts. Last week I went to the opera. I loved it. All but one scene. That's where the 350-pound soprano sings to the baritone. She sings, take me in your arms and hold me close. Where the hole are close, the bum would have to be curved like a banana. Those opera lovers, all raving Handel's Largo. I heard better music written by Umbriaco. Now, what I say may sound absurd, but believe me, it's true. I've seen every opera, and I'll name them for you. Tales of the Vienna Rules, Madame Buttermilk, The Sextet from Leachy Nuts, and the Quartet from Rigor Mortis. I coach sopranos and tenors in their parts, 'cause I'm Durante, the patron of the arts. Now, just the other day, they held a meeting at the Metropolitan in the cellar. They said, Durante, we're in a hole. You gotta help us out. Stepping up on a soapbox left over from Rigoletto, I said, gentlemen, let's analyze this. Now take Romeo and Juliet. Romeo has to leave Juliet. But does he say, shoo-shoo, baby? No. In opera, he says, I have but a moment to spend with you. A moment, my dear, to spend with you. A moment, my spend, a moment to spend. A moment, 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 a moment. He's got one moment to spend, and he's taken 3 hours to tell her about it. Why, the bummer's making a federal case out of it. Then she says, I will give you a kiss, my love. A burning kiss upon the lips. A burning kiss, a kiss, a kiss upon the lips. A burning kiss, a kiss, a kiss, a kiss, a kiss upon the lips. A burning kiss. By the time he's ready to kiss her, the fire is out. So I said, gentlemen, to save the opera, get yourself new lyrics that have style and renown. Like Pistol Pack and Mama, lay that pistol down. They all gave thanks from the bottom of their hearts to Durante, the patron of the arts, a commissura, Durante, the patron of the arts.
Thank you, Jimmy. But that's enough of the classics for now. Sometimes the best laid plans go wrong. For this special birthday show tonight, we'd planned something perhaps a little ambitious, but certainly worthwhile. A short dramatic playlet directed by Ernst Lubitsch and combining the histrionic talents of Greer Garson and Orson Welles. Everything was all set. In fact, the final rehearsal was in progress at Miss Garson's home yesterday afternoon. Director Lubitsch threw Orson a cue, and who spoke up but Jack Benny.
Oh, Greer, is it all right if I have some of these walnuts here?
Oh, go ahead. Help yourself, Jack.
Thanks. Big ones. Jumbos.
Now, Greer, and you too, Orson. If you both turn to page 12 in the script, we will proceed.
Boy, these nuts are good.
Now, Greer, you are a wealthy society girl who is married to a famous New York... a famous New York stockbroker. And that's you, Orson.
Thanks.
But he is not in love with you, Greer. And as the French say, it is a marriage of convenience.
That was a tough one.
Mr. Benny, will you stop eating those nuts?
Greer said I could. Anyway, Mr. Lubitsch, I don't want to sit around here like a bump on a log. If I can't have the lead in the play, isn't there something I can do?
All right. If it makes you happy, you can play the part of the butler.
The butler? Okay.
Here's the script.
Thanks.
Now, remember, Greer, you are the wife. Orson, you are the husband who doesn't understand her, and Jack?
I'm the butler whom Greer really loves.
You are the butler, that's all.
Okay. Heavens to Betsy.
All right, Greer. Now start the scene. Remember, your husband is 2 hours late for dinner, and you are a nervous wreck.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I understand.
Go ahead. Call for the butler.
Yes. Smedley. Smedley.
Yes, madame. Smedley yet. What is it, madame?
Are you sure my husband hasn't phoned?
No, madame.
Oh, that's strange. He said he'd be back at... What time is it, Smedley?
8:30. Shall I serve dinner, madame?
No, Smedley. No, I'm much too upset to eat. I think I'll go to a movie. What's playing in the village?
George Washington Slept Here, starring Jack Benny.
That's not in the script. Read the lines that are written, please.
Well, it doesn't hurt to give my picture a plug. It doesn't change the plot any, does it? For heaven's sake.
Read what's written.
All right. Give me that again, Greer.
Okay. No, Smedley, I'm much too upset to eat. I think I'll go to a movie. What's playing in the village?
Heaven Can Wait. How's that?
Much better.
And George Washington Slept Here. It's a double feature.
Yeah. Jack, please.
All right, I'll start over again. Shall I serve dinner, madame?
No, Smedley, no. I'm much too upset to eat. I think I'll go to a movie. Is one of my pictures playing in the village?
There can't be 3 features on 1 bill.
Shut up. Now, Greer, at this point, the husband enters the room. Ready, Orson. Make your entrance, please.
Right. Good evening, darling. So sorry I'm late.
Oh, Ronald, you're always late and you're always sorry. It's been like this for months. What has come between us? If I only knew, perhaps we could work things out.
It's nothing, my dear. It's just that I've been so busy lately at the office. Let's forget it.
Dinner is served. Oh, pardon me. I came in too soon there.
Oh, I can't understand it, Ronald. We must come to some understanding. This can't go on forever.
Gwen, let's be adult about the whole thing, shall we? Every night it's the same argument, this constant nagging. I tell you, I've been working at the office.
Oh, but I phoned your office, and they said you left at 2 this afternoon.
Well, I had business at the bank. Besides, I forgot where I parked my car.
Some genius can't even find his car.
Jack, stop interrupting. Continue, Greer.
Oh, it's no use, Ronald. I know you're lying. Look at you. Everything you say and everything you do gives you away.
Now, Gwen.
What's that in your collar? Is it lipstick?
It ain't ketchup.
Jack, please.
Well, I don't want to stand around here like a dope.
You got a line right now. Say it.
Oh, yes. Beg pardon. Madame, dinner is served.
Jack, don't use such sick accent.
You should talk. Dinner is served.
Ah, dinner. Come, Gwen.
We're not having dinner, Ronald. Not until we've reached a definite understanding.
I'm hungry.
Oh, Ronald, I can't go through another day of this uncertainty. I must know. Do you love me or not?
Of course I love you.
You're lying, Ronald. Lying.
Very well, then, I am lying.
Gee.
You might as well know the truth, Gwen. I've never loved you. Never.
That must be nuts.
And if you weren't so stupid, you'd have known it a long, long time ago.
Oh, Ronald, what are you saying?
Oh, my goodness.
I married you for your money. That's all, money. Everybody else knew it. If you weren't such a silly, blind little fool, you'd have realized it yourself.
Oh, stop, Ronald, stop.
Well, Gwen, now you know how things stand between us, and the sooner you divorce me, the happier I'll be.
No, no, I'd never divorce you, Ronald. I couldn't live without you. I couldn't.
Tears, woman's tears. Oh, stop the dramatics.
Ronald.
I'm moving to my club. Smedley, pack my clothes.
I wouldn't touch your dirty clothes.
Jack, stick to the lines. You're a butler.
All right, I'm the butler. I don't care.
Continue, Orson.
Well, goodbye, Gwen. I'm going to the club. Our attorneys can get together tomorrow.
Oh, don't go, Ronald. Please, don't
Stop
go.
Stop hanging on to me.
I won't give you up. I won't.
Stop it, I say. Let go of me. Then take that. That's the last straw. Take off your coat, Orson.
Jack, that's only a play.
Play nothing. Pack up. Oh, put up those dukes, Ralph.
Jack, listen. Don't behave yourself. You can't be in the play.
The heck with the play. If you think I'm going to stand by and see this cad strike the woman I love.
The woman you love?
Yes, Greer. You might as well know it now. I've been crazy about you for years.
Oh, Jack, please.
I don't care if the whole world knows it. I love you, Greer, as I've never loved anyone. I know you will never feel the same way about me, so I'll walk out of your life forever. But before I go, kiss me. Goodbye, my love.
Well, now I know why they call them the Waukegan Wolf.
And so you see why we don't have our play for you tonight.
I just noticed a good friend of mine over on the other side of the room, and since the Armed Forces Radio Service comes under his jurisdiction as Chief of Public Information of the War Department, I think he should say a few words. During the past war, he was a combat man and was better known to the men who served under him in the 7th Corps as Lightning Joe. I'd like to introduce him to all of you. Lieutenant General J. Lawton Collins.
Thank you, Mr. Barrymore. I want to voice my personal appreciation to you people in Hollywood and the entertainment world for the many hours you have given to Command Performance and the other programs of the Armed Forces Radio Service. When I was on duty with troops overseas, it was a pleasure during moments of relaxation to turn in our armed forces radio stations and hear the programs of American radio. The spirit and the cooperation which you people gave to this enterprise was all important to the success that the Armed Forces Radio Service has achieved. The mission of our uniformed men and women today, to keep the peace so dearly won, has carried them to far corners of the world. To assist them in this mission, the Armed Forces Radio Service plays a vital role. The entertainment and the news programs brought to them by Armed Forces Radio Service keeps alive that vital contact with home. There is no place for a feeling of loneliness if high morale is to be maintained. I am happy to say that AFRS, along with our other forms of communication, has made the troops overseas feel that they are in touch with the people at home. I know I speak for all our men and women in uniform when I say congratulations to all of you on this 5th anniversary of the Armed Forces Radio Service. May you enjoy many more.
Thank you, General Collins. honor of this fifth anniversary of Armed Forces Radio Service, we've prepared an operetta starring Judy Garland, Danny Kaye, and Lawrence Melchior. It's the story of two young honeymooners who have been sitting for days in the waiting room of the Minneapolis railroad station, unable to get reservations on a train. Well, it's all very tragic, but let Danny Kaye tell us all about it.
As the scene opens, the boy and girl, sung by Judy and me, have just gotten up from the bench to go and plead again with the ticket man, played by Lauritz Melchior. On with the opera. Curtain, ouverture!
Won't you please give us two tickets from Minneapolis to St. Paul?
We would like them soon because our honeymoon is being wasted in the Union Station.
Just a little ticket from Minneapolis to St. Paul. From Minneapolis to St. Paul is positively all.
A chance. One lower berth.
No, no!
One upper berth.
No, no! We'll sleep on the floor. No, no!
I can't help you. If you want to get to St. Paul this season, you'll have to get a priority and a marriage. Ain't that good reason?
We are stuck in the Union Station.
For 6 months and the duration.
Oh, and the blessed events have passed out cigars.
We will name our children after Pullman cars.
Oh, Pullman cars, oh, Pullman cars. They name their kids after Pullman cars.
Pullman cars pass out cigars. We'll name our kids after Pullman cars.
Has two tickets on the Cannonball Express.
The Cannonball? Cannonball is running great, trying to make connections with the nickel plate. The nickel plate's running fine, trying to make connections with the old Sioux line. And the old Sioux line keeps to the rail, trying to make connections with the Royal Mail. And the Royal Mail trying to see the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. And then the Santa Fe, nothing slow, trying to keep up with the B&O. The B&O runs like a fountain, trying to make connections with Iron Mountain. Then Iron Mountain is really terrific, trying to keep up with the Southern Pacific. The old ST running like well, trying to make connections with the M and St. L. The M and St. L, I must confess, is trying to keep up with the Hartford Express. The Hartford Express is going insane, trying to make connections with the Boston and Maine. And then the Boston and Maine beats them all, trying to make connections with the Cannonball. The Cannonball's running fine, trying to make connections with it all. Yeah.
The adjutant just canceled his tickets on the Cannonball.
Oh, darling, at last we're getting on a train.
Yes, darling, at last we're getting on a train.
Just 1 minute, young man. A word of warning. Adjutant, I will please refrain from running over while the train is standing in the station. I love you.
Oh, darling, we're off to St. Paul.
me off.
Sorry, the adjutant wants his tickets back.
We've got to get on that train.
We will ride there hanging on a strap.
On a strap.
We'll ride upon some lady's lap.
Lady's lap.
We'll ride a coal car or caboose. We'll even hitch a ride upon an eastbound goose.
A goose, 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 a goose,
a goose. And there's a honeymoon upon an eastbound goose. A goose.
An eastbound goose.
A goose.
An eastbound goose.
See that our time's running short, and we have yet to call on the man whose regular appearances for 5 years before the AFRS microphone have done so much to make Command Performances the greatest show in radio history. Here, men, is the one and only Bing Crosby.
I'm glad I have some fans left.
Oh, of course you have, Bing. Of course you have. Why... we had a little popularity contest out our way only last week. True, you didn't win, but you came in second.
Well, that isn't bad. That's good. Who came in first?
Carmen Lombardo.
Well, naturally, Carmen Lombardo won. Look how many votes he's got right in his own family.
Well, you mustn't let this situation get you down, Bing. You'll start worrying all the time, and pretty soon, the first thing you know, your hair will start falling out.
That'll be the lightest fall of year.
Don't think of your career so constantly. Develop some other interest. Why don't you settle down, raise a few children?
A few? Man, I got closets full of them.
Good. Good, good. There's nothing like kids, Bing.
That's right, Lionel. If worst comes to worst, they can always take care of me in my old age.
You mean they don't?
They report... they are reporting to Lockheed Monday morning.
Well, I guess I better be getting along now, Bing. But before I do, would you do me a favor?
Anything.
Will you sing a song for me? One of my favorites.
I'd be glad to, Lionel, if I know it.
Oh, you know it all right. Matter of fact, it came out when you were right in your prime, Bing, during the panic of 1907. It's called Dear Old Girl.
Oh, yes, I know it well, Lionel. And if the charioteers will help me out, we shall tap it right here now.
Dear old girl, the robin sings above. Dear old girl, he speaks of how I love you. My blinding tears are falling as I dream of my lost pearl. And my broken heart is calling. dear old. If I could just hold your charms again. Blinding tears are falling as I dream of my lost bird, and my broken heart is calling.
A wonderful climax for our birthday party tonight. Yes, men, the candles are burning low, the cake's almost gone, and 5 years of Armed Forces Radio are now behind us. We've enjoyed being here tonight, and we regret that not all of the entertainers who have contributed on your shows could join in this anniversary celebration. I feel that I speak for them, too, and for all of us in the industry, in expressing our thanks to all of you for requesting us to appear from time to time. Keep those letters coming to Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA, and we'll do our best to continue sending you the music and laughter of America. This is Lionel Barrymore wishing you all the best of everything on earth and saying goodbye.
United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.